I want to thank you so much for that warm, blessed greeting that you gave my cousin that came up here. And he was very ecstatic and excited about that. I didn't know he was coming. Trust me. We found out this morning when he called us from the house, and I had went. What happened? We went to a friend's funeral about 2 years ago. I hadn't seen him, and I hadn't seen Paul, and I bet you it's been 30 years. 2 years ago, and we've seen him. And seen, it's amazing how God worked. Because he showed up at the funeral, and that's where we seen him at, I think. And I came back, and we said he stayed as close to us in Mount Pleasant, so he asked me to come by, and I did some work for him and worked on the generator and got him some stuff straight. He's got a nice place out there. But the wonderful thing is that to see him and to have him to come back, and we were able to convince him to get him to come here. And you know, he had nothing but great things to say when he got in his truck out there. And he said, "Grady, I will be back. He's coming back." So I thank you for that. Thank you for, you know, you just don't know what it do for me to know that, you know, I got a warm, loving church family here. And as I see it right now, you know, ain't nobody running things but the good Lord. But as I see it right now, I'm home. That's how I see it. You know, and you don't have that to worry about. You may have to get your stick and run us off, you know. But we're home. We're home. I don't want to hold you up. Let me go ahead and get it going. I know it's a little late in the evening and everything. I want to say first, thank the good Lord for allowing me again another day. Tomorrow is never promised. Anytime or anywhere or any reason that you acknowledge or realize you're on this side of the dirt, it's all through God. You can hear and believe that. Again, thanks to my church family, Mr. Bob and Mr. Jerry. Thank you all so much for saying what you say, and Chad, you know, about me and my lesson and everything, because I know you don't have to do it, and trust me, I want everybody to understand, I don't even consider myself as good in it as you guys are. I really don't. I just want to be just like you, a striving Christian trying to get on in. I want to win my race. I want to stay my course. And coming here, I feel warm and comfortable that I'm not distracted and all that. So thank you so much for that you did and say to me and make me feel. My wife, again, she keeps me on task, keep me on time. I'm telling you right now, that's the strong link. You know, that's the strong side for me. And I, greatest 4 o'clock. Yes, ma'am. Stop what I'm doing. Get on out there. That's what you need. That's what you need in life. I'm telling you now. I'm telling you, you can't do this thing by yourself. And with that, come up to my lesson. My scripture reading, my supporting scripture for this lesson, will be coming from Luke 23, verses 39 through 43. You probably already know it. When you get it, say amen. Okay. I'll read. Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, "Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "As surely I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." My lesson for today, or my topic, just for a little while, is it doesn't matter. You say, "Well, Grady, why? Where did that come from? Why do you say that like that?" As I told you before, and as I said before, I be trying to get folk talk to them and get them to come to church. And about 2 years ago, I done this same question before online, and I asked, you know, what is the primary reason? Because when I ask them, you know, they have a lot of self-doubt. And then when they get in church, they don't want to do or say anything. I said, "Well, what is the self-doubt? What is it? Why Do you doubt yourself? One of the main problems is that they say, when you talk to them, they say that they feel like people look down on them because of their past sin. Isn't that something? Now, this is, we're all fairly intelligent people here. We never consider that kind of, you don't think about that because you look at the church. But anyway, bear with me here. Let me go ahead on. Now, the plan of salvation requires that you hear the gospel, believe in Christ, repent of past sins, confess Christ, be baptized, live faithfully. This includes bringing souls to Christ. We all should be trying to bring as many souls as we can to Christ. So, back as I said earlier, why would you doubt yourself? Because with that plan of salvation, it already automatically identifies that I can save anybody. This is Jesus. He can save anybody. But anyway, going on with that, I looked at it and I found that the majority of the people, again, struggled with their past sin. And they felt like my sin is worse than somebody else's. My sin made me a little bit worse. Now, if you would, please, not to you, but this is what we need to know. We are Christians. We are Christians. So if they said they was made to feel that way here in the church, then he had to get that feeling from a Christian. I mean, it's just a matter of elimination. Now, let's fix it. Now, he ain't talking about somebody on the street. They said here in the church, not saying us, but that's how they felt. And the reason why this comes up with me, and the reason why I do this research, is I looked at it online, and it was the number one reason why people say they don't go to church or don't go back to church. That was 2 years ago. I rechecked it before I did this message this time. Checked it this year, it's the number two reason. The number one reason now, they say they don't like getting up when they say introduce yourself to the church. That's what's out there. I'm just telling you that's what's out there. Now, how they could poll that, I don't know. But what we got to be concerned with is that we're representing God, Jesus, his plan the way we're supposed to. That's what we got to make sure of. So with that, I went over, and if you would please, turn to Isaiah 64 and 6. When you have your finger there, let me know, I'll read. Say amen. Amen. But we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are like filthy rags. We all fade as leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. That changes things. If we're here in church, we're looking at, the first thing you got to say is, you know how we talked about this morning, and in Revelation, we're all the same. When it comes to that, we're all the same. So, this person, or whoever this is to come to church and using this as an excuse for not coming back, we can fix this. We can fix this with it because you're just like me. Now, you ain't got a ride, that's something else. But because of sin, let me read what I got here. My response to that is that the church is in the saving business. We don't do tires. We don't do paint jobs. We don't do rooftops. We are in the saving business. Now, you got to have somebody here to save them. With that, let me now go back to my story. And this, if this don't hit it dead in the head, I don't know what does. The story is, of Jesus being crucified. According to the theologians and the historians, there was actually four involved. They got together and allowed one to go so it can keep Jesus. That's what happened back in that time. In doing so, Jesus is paired up with two thieves. You need to understand now, you have to really do some serious stealing to be killed for stealing. Yeah, they put the death, capital punishment. That's what's going to happen. We're going to kill. So these guys, they weren't just stealing apples or robbing your grapevine. These guys were career crooks. These are career crooks. They've been doing it all their lives. So much so until the government says we're going to kill them. But listen to this, as God would have it. Now, according to the theologians and the historians, they say there were two thieves. They named them, but the names is not mentioned in the Bible, but they are named. And here's what they're saying. The good thief, and I struggled with that one, the good thief was on the right. This is what he's saying. Now, you understand what's going on here now. The good thief, he's on the right, stretched out. The bad thief, is on the left. Career crooks. The bad thief says, well, let me get over here on the left. He says, if you who you say you are, save yourself and save us too. Now, before we condemn him, let's think about us for a minute. If you had the possibility to have someone save you from your life being taken, I'm not so sure that selfish thought he had is exclusively his. We would be thinking, some of us would be thinking the same thing. You don't have to tell me. Just think about this thing now. On the right side, this is what knocks me to me. We hung up too. They're holding conversation. You hear me? You dying and holding conversation. You hear me? This has got to be good here. He looks over and says, don't you know who this is? I'm paraphrasing. Don't you know who this is? Number one, here's a career crook that knew Jesus. That's the first thing you got, a career crook. Then all my life I've been stealing. So much so that he looks at his buddy and says, me and you justified by being here. We're supposed to be here. That's what he's saying. Again, a thief, a career thief. But this man has done nothing to no one. And then looks and says, Master, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Now, this is the one us Christians need to make sure we got. We know he's a career thief. We know the government got him. We know they locked him up. We know he just admitted to him being a career thief. Jesus says to him, as surely as today, you will be with me in paradise. Not tomorrow, not after I go through a council, not after you get right, not after we take you down and let you sing with the group, not after we do a DNA and check in at that. None of that matters. None of it. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Wait a minute, Christian. He have just taken the judging business away from us. We shouldn't be judging anybody. He said, Jesus said, today, not tomorrow, today, look at you, check your book. Now, I done it, he said, today, let's check him out and see how long he come to church.
he got his hair cut. He got two rings and a tattoo.
He didn't mention any of that. None of that.
I caught him with a beer bottle last week. He had 5 dozen little chickens. None of that come up.
He didn't. So how much better are we? How much better are we to have them come and we let them leave out here thinking that we are better than them? How much better are we when they come in here looking for something? Now, grant you got some of them that probably still have ill good about them. That may be. But that ain't our business. That's between him and God. He's here. He's here. He's here. She's here. Our job is to bring souls and represent him. And as it says in Isaiah, we all but 50 rags. What makes yours so much whiter than his? Cleaner than his? Straighter than his? I submit to you here that it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. But if that ain't enough, let's go fast forward. We're going to reel this thing fast forward. I'm going to wind it down. I know you're tired of hearing me. I'm about ready. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and get out of your hair today. I'm going to go ahead and get out of your hair. Got one more story for you. Listen to me. Just listen to this. Because God has a way of bringing things home to us. Got a way of bringing things to us. September 20th, 1958. I was born January 25th, 1958. So I was, young fellow. September 20th, 1958. An author was in Harlem, New York, signing his book. When he was approached by a lady, and the lady said, asked him who he was. When he said his name, she took a letter opener and stabbed him. Right there. Stabbed. Listen to this. This is good. And when they rushed him to the doctor in New York, got him in, the x-rays showed that the tip of the letter opener was against the aorta. Against the aorta. And the doctor said if he would have only sneezed, he would have died. Well, 4 days later, when he recovered, they was able to get it out. They saved him, had it patched up. And he was receiving letters. He got one letter from the President of the United States, one from the Vice President of the United States. He got one letter from the Governor of New York. He didn't remember what any of those said. But there was this one letter that he got from a ninth grade high school student from White Plains, New York. Let me read what it said. He says, she said, while it shouldn't matter, I would like to mention the fact, shouldn't matter. While it shouldn't matter, I would like to mention the fact that I'm a white girl. It's 1958. If you ain't figured it out by now, it's Dr. Martin Luther King. If you ain't figured it out by now. He said, I read the paper, she said, I'm sorry, where figured out it's a white girl. I read in the paper that your misfortune and of your suffering, and I read that if you had sneezed, you would have died. I am simply writing to say that I am so happy that you didn't sneeze. Huh? You tell me God ain't living. You can sit here and play this prejudice, racist, crazy stuff all you want to. It didn't matter. Color had nothing to do with it. Color had nothing to do with it. You tell me God ain't bigger than us. So when we bring them in, when we bring them in. Remember, we are all the same. Our job is to spread his word. Our job is to uphold God's way. Not your way, not their way, God's way. There are so many things that we can do, and especially at this time of the year, we see a lot of things, but we are Christians. Our love extends past the holiday. It does. We in this thing until we fall off the face of the earth. What we do best, and that is serve God. And doing that, that means love one another. If you are one that have or think that for some reason or another that this is targeted, this is not targeted at anybody. This is what I study. When I go back, I look in it. I look it up because I think the Bible is just like one of the other suits that we put on. This is something we should. It's applicable to us. This is something we should be doing. This is. I mean, I love it here. You'd have to fight me to stop me from coming. When you go to somewhere that you're home, that's what you do. So what we need to is, you know, I believe we collectively got this thing together that we're going to love and serve and be faithful to God, which means that we're going to love and help those that come in. It may not impact any of us, but there is somebody that thinks that way because it made the web. It made the statistics. Somebody feel like that. Let's make sure we don't be a part of the ones that make them feel that way. With that, if you believe in Christ, repent of past sins, confess Christ, be baptized, and live faithfully, I think that you can come now to the front as we stand and sing.
Who at the door?